I am thrilled with the opportunity of sharing God's Word this morning. And I just read something from A.W. Tozer this morning when he talked about, this is not a joke, when he talked about the responsibility of bringing the Word of God. And he says, I was reading in his book on the attributes of God. It's a two-volume set I'd highly recommend. But he says that when he is given the responsibility of communicating the who God is, he says he feels like an ant who's been asked to carry a bale of cotton. Just, you can't do it. And that's a bit how I feel this morning. And we're looking at this is part of what we feel is our core values at Calvary Chapel. You see that little symbol in the bottom? That's an endless circle of three circles. Without saying anything, who here knows what that represents? Ah, very good. We have some people here who know what it represents. What's that? Recycling? No. We'll get to what that means in just a minute. But we're looking at the what we feel are core values at Calvary Chapel. And this is not something we wish were true, but it's something we believe to be true and how we function and practice as a family. And for a lot of people, you sometimes wonder, okay, who are we? How do we tick? What makes us happen? And so we felt it was important as elders. We spent time praying and fasting and praying. We felt the Lord tell us, you need to define your core values. And once you've done that, then what you do comes out of that rather than the other way around. You've got to have something that keeps you central. And one of our core values is Ephesians 4 ministries, which is sometimes called fivefold ministry or apostolic and prophetic ministry. And there's many discussions you can have on this. And this is a subject that I have that really has embraced me for many, many years. And the task this morning of sharing this, I said this morning at prayer, I could pick 1,000 verses for this morning and share it, and it would all be relevant. Because this is a theme throughout Scripture, Ephesians 4 ministries, and we're going to get to that. I'm going to read two portions of Scripture. I'm going to read those two that are listed over there. And then, instead of the introduction that I had originally typed out, and this morning as I was preparing, and God was continuing to prepare me for this morning, and I just wrote in my prayer journal what was going on in my heart. And then I got back to my notes and I thought, I was just so unhappy with my introduction. I said, because people aren't going to get it. And it's important people's ears are on right in the beginning. And I just felt the Lord say to me, why don't you tell them what you just told me this morning? And it's kind of like he put a prayer into my heart and he says, this is the introduction. And so I deleted that whole introductory section and I'm just going to, after I've read the verses, I'm just going to share / pray what God prompted me this morning, and then we're going to go to the teaching. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure, the title of the sermon is Foundations of Ephesians 4, Fivefold Ministry, Christ's Equipping Gifts. For you note-takers, Foundation of Ephesians 4, Fivefold Ministry, Christ's Equipping Gifts. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 ends with, and I will show you a better way, and then goes to 1 Corinthians 13, which is the famous love chapter. And so it's important that we understand the context. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 and 28. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. And God has appointed to the church first apostles, second prophets, then teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. The various kinds of tongues in 1 Corinthians is the gift of languages. Kevin and Maria Martins are in Prague, and we pray that they will have this gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians 12, that they will learn the Czech language. It's that gift of languages. Darnell and Christy Epp, when they were in Kenya, were praying that God would give them an understanding and a grasp of the languages around them. And they prayed this regularly. And we had the privilege of being with them in their home in Kenya. I will pray. Father, I have been given the privilege of bringing your word today. I feel I could speak all day of your love for us. Of how from the beginning of time you loved us, and how at the end of time you will still love us. You never change. After you created the universe, you created us in your image. You walked on the earth with us. We were made to walk with you, but we chose knowledge rather than relationship. We were not satisfied with relationship. Then you sent your prophets to speak, and you even came and spoke with Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joseph, and so on. But we were not satisfied with relationship. We showed you by our actions and attitudes that you are not enough. We prostituted ourselves. We wanted a king. So you said, why? I will be your king. But we were not happy. We wanted an earthly king. Finally, you came to us a man. You walked and talked with us, just like at the beginning of time, but we rejected you. You said it was about love and relationship, but we did not accept you. We said we wanted God's love, but not like this. It didn't look right. Not at all like what we had wanted. Then you gave your life. Yet you have not deserted us. You came as Holy Spirit to live in us and empower us in relationships. You want relationship with us. And the only way for us to experience relationships is with each other. Is it enough? Will we choose relationship, vulnerability, openness, or will we today yet again say we want your glory, we want your power, but we reject your plan for relationship? God has a word for us. You want to move to the next disc? Thank you. God, the fellowship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is the biblical Trinity. John 8, verse 16, as listed up on top, God the Father sent God the Son to the earth. But even if I do not judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. John 14, verse 26. God the Father sent God the Holy Spirit to the earth, John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. God the Son demonstrated human life, how human life was to be lived in the Spirit. Acts 10, verse 38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. This is the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God, the Father is God. God is not the Father. Holy Spirit is God. God is not the Holy Spirit. The Son is God. God is the Son. The Father is God. God is the Father. God is the Holy Spirit. But the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Father is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's not the Father. You get that? This is demonstrated throughout Scripture. And it says that in marriage, the husband and the wife, the two shall become one flesh. He says, I want you to experience me, God says. I want you, I've created you to experience me, to walk with me. So when you get married and the two become one, they become one, and now they're not complete. Amanda is not complete without TJ. Yet Amanda can walk up here by herself and TJ can sitting in the chair. How does that work? That Amanda is completely Amanda by herself, and yet she is not. She's incomplete without TJ. You thought we'd quit using Illustrator once you got older and got married. I'm not going to use you as the 12-year-old girl who got pregnant anymore as an illustration of Mary and Joseph. Okay, that's over. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is the Trinity. I can't work this button here. So then you'll have to. Thank you. This is, again, the same thing. It just illustrates it. Now the next slide again. We have the red background. The red background to me represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And this symbol, which is in the bottom of each of the slide, was designed by somebody in England, believe it or not. The Great Britain. What's that? This is a good thing. Yes, yes. 3 points represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The continuous interwoven line represents unity. I drew the circle on my paper, and I tried to get my pen out of the circle. See, it's a three-pointed circle, and it's really neat if you start drawing that, and you say, I'm just going to draw it from... You can't... There's no place it ends. It just keeps going and going and going. God. Constant, continual fellowship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Absolutely complete in himself. Doesn't need anything. He says, wow, this is pleasure incredible. We want to share this pleasure. Let us go and create mankind to share in this pleasure. Doesn't need us. He is not less complete without us. He just wants us to share in the pleasure of relational connectedness. Historically, relationship has been rejected and replaced with hierarchy, structure, positions, and title. It's no different today. Adam and Eve had relationship. God walked in the garden, talked with them. They were together. They were naked and didn't even know it. They were so open with each other, so vulnerable, and felt no threat, no danger of anything because there was no sin. God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Says, Adam, how are you enjoying the garden? Eve, do you see these birds? Look at this fruit. Isn't this amazing? But we were not content. We had to gain knowledge, had to get educated. It wasn't enough to be in relationship. So we went to the tree of knowledge. It wasn't enough. Adam and Eve rejected relationship for knowledge. The Israelites rejected relational prophetic oversight and requested a king instead. Now, Moses took it personally that the people rejected God. And he goes to God and he says, why are they rejecting me when they want a king, because Moses was assigned as a prophet to the children of Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, Samuel took it personally. The Lord said to Samuel, 1 Samuel 8, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they rejected me from being king over them. Let all the deeds which they have done since the day that I brought them up from Egypt to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. When we reject each other relationally, we are rejecting God. It's only about everything. If we say we have fellowship one with another, but we don't love each other, we lie. Our acceptance and embracing of God the Father is played out in our acceptance and embracing of each other. The problem, of course, is the better we get to know each other, the more we see the problems. This morning I came to church. I was all dressed up, looking good. My tie was over here. I was happy to preach this way. And I dare say most of you would have been happy to listen to me preach with this way, but you would have wondered, didn't anybody notice that tie of his? It's just not right. Somebody pointed it out to me and said the tie should be at belt level. Oh. I says, well, in Africa, it'd be up here. That's the current style. Am I right?
Yes.
See, my brother from Africa. My brother says to me, where are you? Are you in Africa? Tie goes back down. I had relationship with this person. And I assumed this person was speaking love to me. If I did not have relationship, I might wonder, what are you doing? Is that all you care about, is how I look when I come to church? And everything would have started from there. The offenses would have rolled. The early apostles and the church experienced the fellowship. Why do the slides not want to move? Is it your finger? Is it? Okay.
Windows 7?
For anybody listening on the CD, please forgive me. I will try to stay focused now and not worry about the slides anymore. The early apostles and the church experienced this fellowship. The unique fellowship between God and Jesus began in eternity, was manifested in time through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, was introduced to the apostles, and then introduced to each and every believer through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's such a profound statement, I'm going to read it again. I didn't invent it. The unique fellowship between God and Jesus began in eternity, then was manifested in time through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, was introduced to the apostles, and then introduced to each and every believer through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Profound. Acts 2:42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. There's a lot of words. Fellowship is one of those words that talks about communion. It talks about the marriage bed of fellowship. It talks about when you take an offering. We say we have our tithes and offerings. The word in the New Testament that talks about the gathering of those monies is fellowship. It's sharing. It's not giving. I'm not giving my money. I'm sharing what God has entrusted to me. And so the word fellowship is throughout Scripture. The disciples experienced experiential fellowship was demonstrated by how the apostles lived with each other. If you don't experience relationship and fellowship, it's not worth anything. It's nothing. And life becomes very, very hollow and meaningless. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. God is faithful through whom you were called. What were we called to? Into fellowship. What kind of fellowship? We were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Each of us is called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if you're communicating with the Spirit and fellowshipping, if any affection, any compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. As we experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we have to be experiencing it with each other. The apostles did. But we can look to many things in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and read about how these guys bickered and squabbled over everything under the sun. We say, what do you mean they experienced this fellowship? Well, Scripture tells us that they did, but they were bickering and squabbling. So then, let's not assume that just because some people are bickering and squabbling that we're not fellowshipping. But rather, let's learn to work out the bickering and squabbling to the glory of God. And let's submit to the Lord, because the relationship is foundational. My son and I can have a ripped down, roaring out fight. My adult son. And he'll come back next week. Why? He's my son. And if somebody would suggest, you don't love him, or I'm not his dad, then you should watch how my son would turn on you. He would say, why would you say that? Of course he's my dad. Of course he loves me. Why do you think we're having this rip out, drag him out fight? It's because we love each other so much. I love it. This idea of running from conflict and saying that it's spiritual is just bogus. Bogus. You show me a couple that's never argued in their marriage life, I'll show you a couple where one person always gave in. TJ and Amanda. I bet you they've argued already. Married 3 weeks. I bet you they've had a fight. But I'm not going to put them on the line here. It's about family. 1 John 1 verse 3. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Christ-centered, other-directed. That's what experiencing fellowship is like. It's Christ-centered, other-directed. The marriage life is a great environment for this to get worked out. Or partners in business, or people working together for a common cause, or put people all together to a church. Then you got all these dynamics for all kinds of messy things. But don't worry about the messy things. Do you love Jesus? Do you love me? Then we'll work it out. The 12 apostles of the New Testament were unique. People would like to say that the apostles today were the same as they were then. They're not. Thanks, Greg. They're not the same as they were then. People would like to say that the Pope is connected to Peter and that's why he has the authority. That's bogus. The Catholic Church didn't start till 300 years after Christ. How are you going to connect those dots? Besides, if you're going to preach a gospel, it has to be consistent from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And this gospel that I believe, the message that God has laid on my heart for this morning, is consistent. I can go to any portion of the Bible and show you this theme of relational connectedness. Not structure, hierarchy, position, but relational. God showed me a picture. One of the things I was going to do was draw a paper all around the church, put paper all around the church, then start with Jesus and the apostles, and if I trace the lineage of how they knew each other, Greg, come up here for a second. Humor me. Tony, come up here for a second. Arnold, come up here for a second. Jake, come up here for a second. And here's the thing. If Jake is Jesus Christ, then Jesus said, I want you to experience the fellowship I have with my disciples. I want you to experience that. That's what Jesus said. Many times people says, I would have loved to walk when Jesus was here. Just link your arms together. Oh. They're instantly experiencing something different than they did before. And Jesus says, I want you to experience. Jesus said to Arnold, I want you to experience this fellowship. So here's Arnold. He's one of the disciples, one of the apostles. What does he say? He says, Tony, I want you to experience this fellowship that I know with Jesus. And Jesus leaves. But he says, wait a minute. My Holy Spirit I'm bringing you to empower you. Now it flows. There's another thing I wanted to do, but I couldn't find an appropriate. It's a video clip of people touching an electric fence. And what I was going to do is have an electric generator over here for Jake to hang on to. You know? But I thought, okay, some illustrations are just better not done. You know? The videos I saw, they just didn't turn out too happy. Disclaimer. Disclaimers first. But here's the picture. Jesus, this is what I want. This is what God said in the Garden of Eden. I want you to fellowship. He said to the children of Israel, I want you to bless the people and love them relationally. I am your Father. You are mine. Then here we go. We got Jesus. We got the disciples. Now here's Paul the Apostle, right over here. And he says, I want you to experience this. Greg, I want you to experience this. Church at Corinth, I want you to experience Jesus Christ. How are you going to do that? Bring it on, brother. Yeah. Here's the Spirit flowing. How in the world will a guy like this who wrote a letter to Corinth, and he said to the Corinthian church, he says, who is this who's come in among you and is teaching you guys you've got to get circumcised? Who is this guy? Let me get my hands on him. You know something? I wish not only that he'd circumcise himself, but he'd go all the way and castrate himself. Corinthians says those exact words. People say, how harsh could Paul be to say that? Paul planted this church. They knew each other. They loved each other. When Paul wrote that letter, these people would have said, yes! Who is this guy that's bringing in this teaching? We're going to get our hands on him. It wasn't harsh. It was love. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to empower it and fuse it. Jody, get up here. Jody, get up here. How do I get a piece of this? How do I get a piece? Don't touch him. I want this Jesus. I want this power to flow in our body and through our body. I want all of Jesus. Don't touch him. It's going to hurt when you touch him, you know. He knows stuff about you, Jody. Make sure you don't reveal yourself to him. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Do you want Jesus? Jody, do you want Jesus more? Or are you too scared of getting hurt? Show us, Jody. Do you want Jesus? How do I know you want Jesus? That's how I know he wants Jesus. He says, I'm going to hang on to my brother. We're going to deal with the hurt. We're going to deal with the pain. We're going to come to Jesus together. Why? And the apostle says that you will have fellowship with us and with the saints. That's what he's talking about. Jody will have fellowship with the Corinthian church, who's Greg. Greg will have fellowship with Tony, the apostle Paul. Hallelujah. The apostle Paul will have fellowship right here with the disciples. You can say amen.
Amen.
And everybody is fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is flowing and empowering everybody. There's only one way that we're not going to get this. That's if we're not connected to each other. You cannot stand alone and expect the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to flow you, because by design, from Genesis 1, it has been placed into us. This is who we are. And he says it. He comes down. He lives it. He gives us marriage. And he says, I don't know what I have to do to get you to understand. You have to be family. Thank you, gentlemen. You may sit down. Oh, it's an amazing thing. The 12 apostles in the New Testament were unique. They were called the 12 apostles of the Lamb, Revelation 21:14. Jesus personally and specifically chose them, Mark 3:13-14. Secondly, Revelation 21:14-21. The foundation stones in the New Jerusalem, those are the apostles right there. And thirdly, in Acts, these apostles were eyewitnesses from the baptism of Jesus Christ to the crucifixion, death, and resurrection. That's what described those apostles in the Bible, and we don't have anybody like that alive today. That criteria doesn't fit for today. When Jesus says, I will give you the gift of apostles, prophets, I'm going to set up a family governmental structure where I'm going to come and move in power. Satan is trembling at his boots. And he says, I got to stop this somehow. And so Satan says, I'm going to take the apostle and prophet. I'm going to make them positional rather than relational. And it's nothing but death. And if you don't believe me, then think about a father and a son that are estranged. They do not get along. Will the son listen to anything from that father? Not going to happen. He's a biological dad. But what's the problem? How many times haven't I heard, he may be my dad biologically, but he's not my dad. He's not my father. Why? Because there's no relationship. And if we say we have an apostle and a prophet, but do not have a relationship, we lie. And the relationship or with the structure, whatever it is, brings us nothing but death. Oh, it's painful. More than anything else, there's two words that describe this experiential fellowship of the New Testament ascension apostles, they're called. Jesus' gift to the church, we read in Ephesians, that is foundation and fatherhood in establishing relationally based churches. That's the function and role of apostles and prophets. Relationally, foundation and fatherhood in establishing relationally based churches. We believe this. With all of our fiber of our being. I believe this. There's no other way. The connections have to follow through. Ephesians 4. Church has relationally based structure. Equipping gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Healing helps, administration, tongues, languages. Each person is critically important. Equipping gifts. Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Jesus has all authority, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. He commissions us to continue in his work. Christ transferred his authority, John 20:21. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. There's the connection. As the Father sent me, I send you. I'm going to empower you. You're going to experience me. Paul instructs Titus to move in the authority, Titus 2:15. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Oh, so now he's got the same authority as Paul does, huh? Christ will continue to have that authority until the end of time. Until the end of time, 1 Corinthians 15:23. But each to his own order. Christ the first fruits, and after these, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and the Father, to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power. Our authority is never complete, never carte blanche, but rather is specific and limited, unlike Christ's, who has got authority over everything. Our authority is specific and limited. There are multiple families. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Every family on heaven and earth. Okay, so we have the Southland Community family. We have the Gateway family that's connected to us, but it's different from us. We have the Calvary Chapel family. Every family is connected in Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:15, for if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, you would not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Paul is saying, he is their papa, he is their father. He says, you got a lot of teachers, that's okay. And we struggle with this stuff, folks. This is real. What about this teaching? Are you saying I can't go listen to this teacher? We have many tutors, many teachers, but not many fathers. Where's home? Where's home? Receive all the teaching you want, but where's home? Well, I have no home. Ah. Now we're getting down to the rub of it. Teaching is great. We will receive tutoring from almost anyone. Now this is an important point, but we will receive correction from very few people. John Paul Jackson, in his book, How to Be a Prophet Without Being a Jerk, says that the measure and the power that the Holy Spirit will move in you prophetically is directly proportionate to whether or not you're willing to submit yourself to a pastor. If you're not willing to be corrected, you're not connected. It has very practical applications. We will receive tutoring from almost anyone, but not correction. We must guard against division, especially based upon apostolic leadership. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I'm of Paul and I'm of Paulus. I'm of Ray. I'm over here. I'm of this apostle. I'm a John Piper guy. I'm a whatever. Pick your name here. I'm a Mike Bickle guy. He said, what is this? I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? Altogether. In Christ. The weight of accountability or correction and reproof is limited by the strength of the relational bridge on which it must stand. Relationship welcomes authority. This ministry and gifting is effective only where welcomed. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 2. If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Paul's authority was functional where it was embraced. It's not carte blanche. It's only where it's embraced. Christ's work. Now, this is an amazing thing. Christ is the apostle. Matthew 13, verse 58. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Jesus Christ's work is limited unless we embrace him. He will not force himself. That's the nature of relationship. Relationship doesn't force itself. As soon as it does, it's no longer relationship. Apostles don't rule over anyone, rather have an authority from God, and listening to this advice is optional. We disregard it at our own peril. But it is optional. The leader is specific to where he has leadership. To where he has relationship, to suggest that one has apostolic oversight for a body where there's no relational connection, moves the leader into that of an office rather than functioning out of a relationship. We have people today who have business cards that say apostle. business cards that say prophet. And when I meet with them, I go, apostle sent by whom? Where are you connected? And it's amazing how often the answer is, I'm connected with God. That's good. But what does it look like? Which person do you submit your life to? And it's amazing how often the answer is, nobody. Now we have a problem. We've had major prophetic people, incredible words from the Lord. Business card that says prophet. I said, where are you connected? With whom do you submit your life to? If your wife thinks you're messing up, who does she talk to? And the answer often comes back, nobody. Now we have a problem. Based on the entire Word of God, if it's not a relational connection, then what is it? It's huge. Apostles always point to and exalt Jesus Christ, uses Scripture, and admonishes others to use Scripture. When the relational paradigm is rejected and a hierarchical structure and positional power replace it, we end up with controlling issues. You thought you had trouble taking notes before. Andrew will post this on his blog. I have a sheet on the back table with 25 copies of this if you want it. If you want copies of it, we can get it for you. It's not a problem. What happens when there's authority versus control? Authority raises sons. Authority raises sons. Authority raises sons. I love it, raising sons. I was so proud of Greg yesterday. So proud of you, Greg. Doing the marriage ceremony. Greg's my son. Tony was up there leading worship. That's another one of my boys. Do you know who helped Greg through that? Andrew. Another son of mine. He's our leading pastor, and I submit to him as that. But he's my son. I love him. I'll die for him. And he for me. See how thrilling that is? It's so freeing. Authority makes us reliant on God. Control makes us reliant on them. Authority helps us grow. Control makes us weak. Authority uses our strength. Control takes advantage of our weakness. Authority equips us. Control robs us. Authority widens our horizons. Control narrows our experiences. Authority is a parent. Controlling is a master. Authority is chastisement and discipline. Control is punishment and retribution. Authority is justice. What is wrong here? Control is judgment. Who's wrong? Who did the wrong or who has been wronged? Authority teaches how to make decisions. Control simply makes decisions on your behalf. Some frustration some of you have felt when you come to us for advice, we won't tell you what to do. This is why. This is why. Authority teaches how to make decisions. Control makes decisions on your behalf. Authority establishes boundaries. Control intrudes or imposes on boundaries. Authority gives. Control takes. Authority is King David. Control is King Saul. Authority lays down his own life. Control takes others' lives. Authority is freedom. Control is bondage. Authority is living in a spirit of love. Control is living in the spirit of fear. Barney Coombs wrote a book, several, but in this book, Christ's Love Gift to the Church, Apostles Today. If you want a copy, Agatha can have them available for you. I know Gateway has about 450 copies. We can get them if you'd like. It's a most excellent read. He asks a question in the back here. How would you describe your relationship with your personal pastor? Well, there's a few assumptions there, of course. One is that we have somebody that we talk to. It doesn't have to be me or Andrew or Tony. It doesn't even have to be somebody in this church. How would you describe your relationship with your personal pastor? In the last 3 months, now, Barney asked this question in front of hundreds of pastors in India. Andrew was there. I've heard it on the CD. These pastors all call Barney their pastor. their spiritual father. And a lot of them had hundreds of churches. And Barney says it's really heady stuff to be called your pastor or your father. And then he asked them this question. And he says, based on this criteria, there's maybe two or three of you whose pastor I am. Of hundreds of them. It's relational or it's nothing. In the last 3 months, has your pastor seen you? Has he encouraged you? Has he prayed with you? Has he corrected you? Has he challenged you? As I studied this and read this, I suddenly was overwhelmed with the desire to call Ron McLean. He's my pastor. And you know, I called him. He says, let's get together and go hiking through Birdsill Park. I said, I really look forward to it. What are we going to talk about? I don't know. Something will come up. No presenting issue. I just want to be with you. Sounds like the disciples who wanted to be with Jesus, doesn't it? I just want to be with you. The Holy Spirit will show us what we need to talk about. Let's just be together. The last slide. How is the relational paradigm played out in my life? How do I connect relationally? Do I connect relationally? It's an invitation. You see, I realized something else. Why do so many people feel that the Bible is nothing but a bunch of rules that you have to obey? If you don't have a relationship, it's controlling. Right? Then there's other people who say, well, the God of the New Testament is different than the God of the Old Testament. The God of the New Testament is grace and all these other things. The God of Old Testament is about the rules and laws. What about the verse that says God never changes? I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. We simply misunderstand, misrepresent, and don't know. We don't have a clue who the God is that has told us about same God in the Old Testament. We just don't understand him. So when we don't understand, then we make assumptions. We get offended. Sounds a lot like people, doesn't it? It plays out with each other exactly how it plays out with God. If it's not relational, it's nothing. You don't share all this intimate stuff with everybody. Ron McLean knows everything about me that there possibly could be known. And Andrew knows about 99.9% of everything about me that could possibly be known. They could hurt me really badly. They love me. If it's not relational, it's nothing. In marriage, how many times are men willing to have that experience in the bedroom with a wife when it's not a relational connection? It's called prostitution. We're willing to prostitute our wives for an experience of our own. It is not what God designed it for. But it is a picture of how we're willing to have the semblance of something without the reality of it. The reality of the experience of intimacy with Jesus Christ. We want healing, we want power, we want his glory to come. Do we want the relationship? No, we don't want it to look like that. Each of us has that question. Now the problem we have, that as we get to know each other, we see each other for what we really are. And that's when God's grace can really come through. Then the world would say, look at how they loved each other. Look at the differences they worked out because of the love of Jesus Christ. Psalms 133 says, where that happens, God says, I will command my blessing. I will command my blessing. You guys are going to love each other in this way? God says, I will command my blessing. We want the blessing. But the blessing comes in the relationship. Without the relationship, it's nothing. I'm going to pray, Andrew, I don't have a benediction verse, so I'm going to leave that with you. Jesus, I thank you that you came to this earth. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is in us. And I thank you for the privilege and the joy I've had of just telling people a bit about your love for me and for us. I am humbled and thrilled to have been able to be here. Jesus, I ask you to take the words, anything that distracts, takes away, I ask you, Jesus, to wash it, to bring your word to completion in my heart and in our hearts, that you will be glorified. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.